There we go. There we go. Is that better? Is that where we are? Is that what we wanted to do right there? I'm not sure. But we're talking about the WIAA's decision to implement a new policy where fans ejected from high school sporting events will be required to take a free online sportsmanship course to be allowed back in the stands. Again, civicmedia.us, you can go for this full report if you'd like. Now, I'm curious what you guys think of this one. What's your mindset on this? How do you feel about this? Do you think that this is the proper way to handle this? This is the best way to handle this. You got other options. Because I like it. I'm going to tell you right now, I like it. We did a story back on this early days of Playmakers a couple of years ago. I believe this article is from 2023. And it is about this town in New Jersey that has already had an interesting kind of, you know, take on this. So they were having a serious problem, their Little League was, of getting people not only to ref the games, but, you know, getting parents to settle down. So what their idea was, they came up with, was an interesting punishment, quote-unquote punishment. If you're caught berating an umpire during a game, you'll be banned from the complex unless you agree to suit up as an umpire yourself and call three games. That's the idea. You want to act like a knucklehead in the stands, they're going to put you to work and let you know what it feels like a little bit to be a referee. And I love this idea. I think this is the only idea I like more than what the WIA proposed as far as taking the online course. Let's be honest, a free online sportsmanship course. I don't know the course, and I don't know that how they'll be able to prove that people took the course other than them, of course, just signing it. But if it's online, you don't necessarily have to be present, if you will. I'm not saying anything that we don't all know or haven't done before. So I'm curious to know what you guys think of this one, as well as what they did out in Jersey with this umpiring thing. 715-424-2600, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. What do you guys think about this one? The referee idea I like on a number of levels. I like both of these, but the idea of having somebody actually have to put on the pinstripes and be the zebra and be the referee. Well, we could use more refs. And I mean, is you know, crazy, and maybe it sounds like a reach. I admit that. But what if we got people that, you know, put on that and decided, hey, I kind of like this. Maybe I ought to do this more. I don't have a lot of nice things to say about George McCaskey, and that's coming from me. But I will say one of the things that I've always thought was really cool is it is one of his biggest hobbies. It's one of the ways he spends his daytime, his time away from football, away from management and all that. He refs a lot of Little League games. I believe in multiple sports, but I know in Little League, in baseball at least. We need more people doing this. That's why he does it. What I think is just as interesting about this is the idea of we're at this stage that people could be acting this outrageous or this crazy that we even have to come up with rules for it. I for one, I understand that shame's gone out the window. There is no shame anymore. I kind of get that. You know, we've all had to adapt to that. But I thought on a personal level, on a local level, that this still was something. I don't know. 715-424-2600, call up. Let me know what you think of this one. Both ideas, especially, you know, considering what the WIAA proposed today. Want to dive into the Green Bay draft? See where that all landed. But before we do, I wanted to get to one of our stories of the show. If you guys didn't happen to see this happen in the fourth round, I understand, because most people are not insane like me and follow the every single pick of the NFL draft. I was not able to catch a lot of it live. So what's more insane, watching every pick of the NFL draft live, or the fact that you didn't have to, but you had other things going on, so you went back and caught every single pick? I didn't watch it, but I read every single pick. So, yes, because I need help. But it also really helps when you run a sports show. That part of it is really good. Texas edge rusher Baron Sorrell decided to stick around the proceedings the final day. He doesn't need to go anywhere else after what happened Saturday. Sorrell had to do, all he had to do was cross the parking lot from where the stage was to find his new home in Lambeau Field after getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers, 124th overall. The Packers had no idea that Sorrell was even in Green Bay for the draft. When NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell went to the podium and said, "This young man is here today," those in the draft room thought Goodell was just introducing the person who was going to announce the pick. They quickly found out Goodell was talking about their newest Packer. Quote, "What a cool moment that was," Packers Director of Football Operations Milt Hendrickson said. "We did not know that he was there. That wasn't the reason we picked him. Just some things are just meant to be. Pretty cool moment for him and the organization." I agree that what I know of athletics, what I know of being an athlete, started and ended pretty much in junior high. And I'm not one of these people doing talking sports that believes I could do all these things or anything like that. But one of the things I think that you can relate to is the idea of what it would, just even putting yourself in the shoes of somebody being drafted. And I don't care what round, because if I knew that I was going to be drafted, if I was confident that I'd be drafted, I don't care what the round is, I'm going. I heard Lewis Reddick say this when he was referring to Shedeur Sanders, but I think it's, I believe it's apt for anybody. It's all, where you're drafted is pole position. That's just a number. You look at this and you look at, okay, 100, 300 some players are drafted. Yes, that may seem like a, you know, when you're number 239 or something like that, that may be a lot. But say you're a wide receiver, say you're an offensive guard. Well, once you get into camp, it's you and it's down to three other guys or four other guys. All right. You can work with those numbers a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, all it is getting noticed by a coach or putting in the effort or just being there when somebody else isn't for injury or whatever other reasons. It's pole position. So whether you're Shedeur Sanders or you are Terrell here, it's all just a matter of get me in the room. Just give somebody an opportunity and see what they can do. We're going to see what the Green Bay newest Packers can do. Let's take a look at that those draft picks of theirs. And I'd love to know from you guys, if you had a favorite pick and what you thought of their draft as a whole. I feel like it's pretty consensus. Everybody was good with their number one pick, Matthew Golden. First time in 20 years they draft a receiver. There are people wondering if he can be a true number one. But I don't know that he has to be, considering Green Bay has proven many, many years that they can win games and put up points without having a quote, true number one receiver. And when you look at Matt LaFleur's offense, I don't know that it's important to have a number one receiver. I think it's important to have very smart receivers, and you definitely need three down receivers, receivers that can not only play the slot, play outside, but also block. Now, this kid looks like he can do all the above. Check, check, check. Along with having speed for days. And, you know, while I think some people might have liked to see them grab, some other positions I could see that they could use, especially just, and I'm only thinking of the talent that was there on defense at the time. Not only was this a smart pick and a good pick for this team, for Jordan Love, for this offense, not only was it a smart pick because you don't know what your number one wide receiver, Christian Watson, is going to look like with that torn ACL, even when he does come back. But is there anything wrong with, you know what? The fans are going to love this. Oh, they're going to lose their minds for this. We've got literally more people in the city of Green Bay than has ever been before. Think about that. You can statistically say that over the weekend, there were more people in Green Bay than there's ever been. Let's give them something. Oh, and they went to the moment. And I don't know. I mean, not only was that kind of cool, but I thought that they seized the moment and they realized the moment. That's what I was trying to say, is that they not only seized it, but they realized it. And again, I'm not saying they made this pick for the fans, but they knew darn well this was going to go over really good. It's interesting. I have seen some people talking about asking if he's going to start as a rookie. Yeah, he is. Again, CC, everything I just said about Christian Watson. And look, these receivers nowadays, you find out pretty quick if they can make it. These guys, they come out of college. It's not like it used to be, where you needed to give a guy a couple of years outside of a Keyshawn Johnson, or and even him a little bit. But, we didn't get to see what a wide receiver was really capable of until year two, year three, at least when I was a kid. Nowadays, these receivers are coming out the gate, and sometimes they don't even need a good quarterback. Look at what DJ Moore was doing in Carolina or in Chicago. I feel like get him out there. Give him a number. Get him out there and see what he can do. Because obviously, when you're talking about the Green Bay Packers, to me, at least from an outside looking in, it's championship or nothing. You're called Title Town. So you're on the clock. You got Jordan Love's contract is only getting older every second. And you've got a lot of, pieces that you got to figure out. It's win time. Get him out there. See what he's got. And even when he has bad plays, those are reps. He's learning in real time. It's one of those jobs. You can only learn in real time. You can go to radio school and you can learn a lot of things and be very educated and come into this job the head of your class. You could turn on this microphone and then spit nothing but gibberish. There are certain jobs. Anybody you have ever seen on local TV news or weather, very similar thing. Trained, prepared by great teachers, great educators, and they get out there and, there's nothing like live. There's nothing like real time. I mean, that's why I record this whole show. Wait, what? We're live? Oh, dear God, we're live? No, of course we're live. That's why we have to be live, because we want to take your phone calls. Shut me up, everybody. 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation. Love to hang out with you. Love to hear your sports takes and feelings and what you think about the Packers draft. Number 50 in the second round, their second pick, 54th overall, Anthony Belton, offensive tackle out of North Carolina. It's a big boy, 6'6", 336. He's a good tackle. And some people had him even as a projected late round first pick. All that being said, linemen. To me, that's what the second and third round are almost for. Give me my skill position guys in the first round, your QBs, your tight ends, your wide receivers, your running backs. Give me, defense and offensive tackle, or offensive line, I should say, in rounds two and three. If you have to reverse that, if you're the Giants and you grab Abdul Carter at number three overall, which of course you should do, they flip that around a little bit, but I'm taking best available at any of those positions, and especially if there is a first-round talent at tackle available. There is nothing more important than all of football than the offense and defensive lines. Quarterbacks get the money, quarterbacks get the headlines, and they should. It's a most important job in sports. But the quarterback is worthless if you can't block for him. The quarterback becomes nothing if your defense can't stop the other quarterback. So grabbing linemen, yeah, snatch them up, especially if they fall to you like this kid did. Round three, number 87, might have been a little surprising to some. But, once you get in the habit of something, you want to do it again and again. So the Packers drafted another wide receiver, Savion Williams, out of TCU. Think Cordell Patterson, a real versatile back, real twitchy. I heard that word a lot this weekend, twitchy. I feel like I know that with the rise of the draft, which is kind of cool to me, and seeing so many different outlets covering the draft and everything, that's great. But with that, so back in the day when you first started watching the draft, you had nothing but experts because they had nowhere else to go but ESPN and sit next to Boomer and Mel Kiper. Now, with so many people out there, there are some really smart, talented people. And then there are some people who are just basically pandering or just throwing in their, I mean, I don't know. They could give you the kid's 40 time. They could tell you what he benched, or they could tell you he's twitchy because they got nothing else. And there's this rule of three that most people lean into and go by. Okay, I said that he's got a great 40 time. I said that he was a three-year starter in college. Okay, what else? I need a third thing. He's got a lot of heart. And they always got to come up with a third thing. And it's usually something weak like that. Savion Williams, you know, it doesn't need anything weak. Complete player. Another one of these guys. They're talking about Cordell Patterson as a comparison. You got a little Deebo Samuel in him too, because he could take a hit. He can keep going. He did not fumble in 199 career touches from scrimmage. Only dropped 5 passes, which seems to be a pretty darn good thing going into Green Bay, where the Packers led the NFL with 25 drops last year. Another nice piece for Jordan Love in that offense. Round 4, 124th overall pick, I mentioned. Edge out of Texas, Baron Sorrell. And then at number in the 5th round, 159th overall, Colin Oliver. Another edge out of Oklahoma. I'd like to hear what Michael has to say. Well, Oklahoma State, so I don't know how he feels about that one. 6'2", 240. A little bit smaller than the Packers might prefer with their new 4-3 defense. With Halfley in there. But Halfley also is the one that made the pick. And the kid had a 4.56 speed at the combine. I think you'll find room for him. I think you make room for this kid. Now, this was interesting to me. They go from 4th, 5th, and 6th round. They go edge, edge, and defensive tackle. Where do you win Super Bowls? Defensive line. Offensive line. That's where you win Super Bowls. This is putting more and more bodies over there and getting them to work. Warren Briston, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Gotta like that. You gotta like that. The pedigree of these kids coming out of Georgia is incredible. Yeah, there are some remarkable things going on with the defensive line, I think, in Green Bay. And then they had 2 picks in the 7th round, one of them from Pittsburgh, give it a trade. Micah Robinson, a cornerback out of Tulane, a kid I actually seen a little bit in college, and I really liked his work. He's a great player. Then wrapping things up in the 7th round with the number 250th overall pick, John Williams, offensive lineman out of Cincinnati. So, what do you think of the draft, everybody? 715-424-2600. Want to hear from all of you and what you thought of this one. I apologize if I seem a little distracted, but I wanted to make sure to take this text because we've got the 4th period coming up. For new listeners out there, that is our chance to talk hockey with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul. He's going to be joining us in a little bit here. Looking forward to that. Catch up with the River Kings. Find out what they've been up to. I want to get into some of the undrafted free agents out there as well. So we'll be talking about that. And again, want to hear from all of you what you thought of the Packers draft. Or are you still sleeping? Were you at the draft and you were beat? You were so tired you weren't able to make it a call again. What do you think of these WIAA rules that we were talking about earlier? We'll be discussing those, I'm sure. Michael Comer, our new sports director around here at the studios. Michael, I'm sure, will be having some takes on that, some thoughts on that one. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. He'll be joining us on Wednesday, I believe. We'll go ahead and we'll talk with Coach and GM Peckman when he gets here. And I feel like this is a pretty good lead into that because... our friends at Up North News, I encourage you to sign up for their newsletter. They've got some great stuff over there. One of the articles that they had recently was about building a statue over at in Madison at University of Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez has a statue. Pat Richter does. So what about Coach Mark Johnson? Miracle Mark Johnson, born and raised in Madison, a Wisconsinite, stayed local to play hockey for the Badgers under his dad, legendary coach Bob Johnson. His freshman year in 77, he helped the team win the national championship, became the first Badger to win WCHA Rookie of the Year, finished as the all-time leader in goal scorer. Then, of course, the rest of the world got to know Mr. Johnson by name as a key member of the Miracle on Ice team. And I've scratched the surface of this man's career. Because, obviously, as you all know out there, 8 trophies and an NCAA record-setting 600 wins later, Mark is not just the winningest coach in Wisconsin, but D1 women's hockey history. And all of this being said, yes, he should have a statue. Yes, he should have a day named after him. But I don't want to pick on anybody on this one. If you're looking at your resume, you're from Mark Johnson in your head. But I feel like you're missing one key thing. During all of this, at the end of his career, one of the last things he has done in his career, he's going to keep going. He's not going anywhere. But one of the most recent things, I should say, one of the most recent things he has done in his career is just sitting there in overtime and asking his athletes, who wants it? A coach doing that is unheard of. It's unheard of in practice. It's unheard of in a regular season game. It's darn near mind-boggling insane to do it with a national championship on the line. But if you're a good coach, no, sorry. If you're a legend, that's what you do. That's the kind of person you are. That's how you got to where you are. That's how you became Mark Johnson. So yes, to our friends over at Up North News, and to all of you out there, and specifically hoping they can hear us in Madison, build this man a statue. And I want it to be him sitting down and the look on his face when he says, who wants it? I think that'd be great. Again, sign up for Up North News, everybody. Sign up for their newsletter. Throw it into your search engine. Find Up North News. Subscribe to the great work they are doing over there. Shout out to the reporting and the team out there. We will take our first time out, but that's all right. We got a second one in the pocket. We'll come back with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, which you can hear home games right here on 105.5 WIRI all season long. More playmakers coming up. That brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WIRI's Playmakers. Time for the fourth period. Oh, that music this time of year just hits the soul so good as a Blackhawks fan, I have to admit. Welcome, everybody, to the fourth period. This is our chance to sit back and talk with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for making it. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I'll let you guys look behind the curtain a little bit. With the change of the show and the timing and everything, I was a little worried we wouldn't be able to make this work. I appreciate you being here, Coach.
Thanks. I got caught off guard a little bit, too. So. I'm glad we made it happen.
We're really excited already to get back to things around here and have the Kings back when they get back in town and everything come this fall, October, around there, where we start talking a little more Kings hockey. But I'm always interested in the off season and what's going on. Not that there really is an off season or any time to really stop scouting or those things. I know that during the regular season, that's something you're doing too. But you're able to put a lot more focus on it right now. Is that where your main attention is? We will talk about Junior Kings and stuff too as well. But for right now, as far as the River Kings go, is that kind of your main focus? Is scouting and seeing who we can bring into town here?
Yeah, it's that's all we're doing right now. Really, it's just reaching out, looking at guys, watching video, talking to coaches, getting guys on our board and seeing who we want to talk to and who we want to go after. And right now we're getting ready to go to Montreal on Wednesday. We built two prospect teams that are going to play in the Quebec Junior hockey showcase, so we're gonna go up there. And last year we were runner up, right? We lost in the finals, so hopefully we get back there and do some damage and have some fun. And we got a lot of guys, and these are all prospects, right? I think maybe we have one or two guys per team that are a River King already, and we do that specifically to help within the locker room, right? You want guys, they're always wondering what the organization's like and this and that. It's always good to have inside guys in there talking. So we'll have guys like Noah Diamond and Olivier Bolduc and Pod Gurney and Shavrir Alexander. And Lucas Whitehead will be playing in the alumni game there today, so it'll be nice.
Some familiar names. That's nice to have. Always good to hear those. And a shout out to Lucas and everything he gave to this city and this team and everything. I appreciate him a lot. Yeah. A fun kid to talk to, too. Yeah, it was great to have on the mic. As great of a scout as you and your coaching staff are, and you guys are great scouts and recruiters, it's been proven over the last couple of years especially, there's nothing like having these kids being recruits as well, and these River King players being able to say what it's like coming here, what it's like to play for this team.
Well, you hope, right? I mean, you hope guys have a great experience. And not only do they do well, they see their success and they reap the rewards of their hard work, right? And then pass it along to their buddies, right? So we have quite a few of those conversations going on right now.
You know, my dad was bringing this up. We were watching some of the NHL playoffs this weekend. And one of the coaches kind of went out of his way to go down the line and tap one of the guys that had a bad set. And my dad was referencing it and everything. It's like what that is as a coach and seeing that, and how he was surprised the camera even went on him, because it feels like usually when they put the camera on a hockey coach, it's only so that when they're screaming or something like that. I think to people who don't grow up with the sport or maybe watch the sport as intense as you and I do or some others out there do and everything, when you think about hockey coaches or something, I think you have a certain mindset in your mind of what they are, maybe even just coaches in general. But I feel like sports got this long before the business world did. That you there's certainly accountability is everything in life and just as well as in sports. Sure. And you have to hold people that way. But you do no good just belittling or badgering an athlete. It's actually the opposite of that. You are building these athletes up. And this is at every level, I would imagine, especially at this level at the USPHL.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, you go through so much, or we do anyway, right? You're in player meetings. We're on the board, right? We're writing stuff. We're talking about all kinds of game situational stuff. You're watching video, right? You practice that. So when it happens in the game, and that's what I try to do, I know Derek does as well, we talk a lot as the play is happening. Here it is, right? This is what we talk about. This is that. And then when you do it, right, and you get so excited because these kids get it, right? And when they're getting it, they got to be rewarded, right? I mean, that's how you get more. You can't just keep browbeating, right? You got to make sure you pump them up and make them recognize the good things that they're doing. Listen, 9 out of 10 times, they know the bad things they're doing, right? So everybody gets it, right? That's a conversation you have in the hallways and in the locker room, that kind of stuff, right? But for the most part, recognizing, and you can actually, as the play is transpiring, talk about it on the bench. So you got 20 guys sitting in front of you, and they're all hearing what you're saying, right? Here we go, chip here, this, that, do this, off the glass, this. And they see it, they do it, and then all of a sudden, good thing happens, right? That's why we do that, right? That's why we practice that, right? And hopefully it ends up in the net, right?
I think you touched on something really key to this conversation. Anybody out there listening, I would almost guarantee everybody out there listening, you know what it is your worst enemy is. It's that voice in your head. It's the most of us beat ourselves up more than life ever could. Right. Then imagine being an athlete. And what it takes to get to where they did. They got here in part because of that voice in their head. So the idea of somebody else doing it, it's not only white noise oftentimes, but it doesn't really build anybody up, it doesn't accomplish anything. If you want them to stop doing that, that's not going to do it. That kind of approach or anything. And I admire that a lot, in not just in coaching, but just in life in general, management, all of these things. I am leaning into talking about management a little bit, because I don't get to talk to the GM coach very often, or GM Paul very often or anything. But I'm curious, with this time in the off season here, you have to put certainly some time into that work. And I'm wondering, you know, are you guys talking about some new promotional ideas with the River Kings? Any kind of interesting things like that? We certainly don't have anything in writing right now, but is that another conversation you and the team are having?
Well, it's just more about we've come up with a couple different designs, right, that we're gonna put on some apparel and do that kind of thing and try to keep it fresh. And you know, no, it's really just depends on as we're building up the schedule right now. So we got a couple of guys from other teams that have committed to dates and stuff like that. So it just really depends, because I think we're going to start off with a couple of home games in October. And I only have maybe half the teams set for the roster, right? So you really don't know. And then whatever is going on during the course of that time frame, right, that we try to connect with. So I don't it's really, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a fluid thing, I imagine. It's
tough to nail down.
Yeah.
But no, you know, we like to do the outdoor game in Chicago, right? Yeah. The blue white games.
Yeah.
So I think that may be something we expand upon. I don't know. That's still in the talks, but with Marshfield and other places like that. But nothing locally where we've actually really gotten together. I've been working or trying to work with Wheeler's car dealership and doing something.
Cool.
Just more advertising, more marketing, and just getting the word out there, that kind of thing. Well, so we'll see.
One of the ways we as fans can help doing that is making sure we show up, we fill up the Southfield County Rec Center, make sure that they know what Home Ice Advantage is and everything. And certainly promoting your Kings and spreading them on social media, wearing the apparel, making sure that anybody who comes in the Rapids, whether it's for 5 minutes or 5 months or 5 years, you know what city this is. You know what colors, what team we represent and everything around here. I want to talk a little bit about the Junior Kings, Junior River Kings a little. Had an exciting weekend. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, God knows it's been a long time since I coached little guys. Right? But, and I say little, I mean, they're maybe, 12, 13 years old, I think. Yeah. But it was interesting because we had kids coming from Texas. We had three kids from Texas, two from New York, three from Green Bay, and the rest from central Wisconsin, right? So we've been practicing. The guys locally here, and we had a guy as far as Hayward, right, up there, and then Moseney, Stevens Point, Marshfield, a couple from Rapids. We practiced the last 4 weeks, twice a week, and it's tough to get anything accomplished as a team. But we had fun, and we worked on some things, and we took it. And then when it's like a crapshoot, right? You roll the dice, and all right, let's see what we got. And we had some pretty good players, so the guys did really well. I'm very proud of them. We tied Green Bay, which won the thing last year.
Yeah.
And then we beat Team Kentucky. And then we wound up playing this high elite skills or something like that. Team that was very good. You could tell that they've been all together for a while. And it really came down to, you know, the tiebreaker goals for, goals against. And they've been mercying everybody up to us. So we came up with a little game plan to keep this thing close, and then we pulled it out. We could not give up more than three goals, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have made the championship game,
right?
And then we it was 3-0 late in the third period, and we scored, made it 3-1. And the boys were so excited. It was good to see that part of it. And then we wound up playing the same team in the finals, and they just had a lot more firepower. So we lost by a couple goals, but it was a lot of fun.
You certainly you always love to win. You love to be the last team standing in those things, no matter what we're talking about. But especially at this level, you already won. These kids already won. We're building hockey. We're making future lovers of hockey, whether they play the sport professionally or in the USPHL or any level, or they just become a lifetime fan and get themselves a jersey of their favorite team. This is what this is all about. This is what, you know, building teams like this in the USPHL up and down the whole entire conference, the whole entire thing is building up this sport and making sure that we have generation after generation after generation loving hockey the way you and I do.
Yeah. You know what's amazing to me is that, again, it's the parents who don't get it, right? And it happened once or maybe twice, and I just looked at them. Mm. I'm like, just relax.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I'm playing everybody, right? We had 8 forwards and 4 defense. I mean, there's a lot of ice time.
Yeah.
I mean, going like this all game long.
Yeah.
How could you be complaining? Just let the kid play.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming from nobody practice. Just people drive from Texas to come here. Let's just go play.
Yeah.
And then you're complaining about, hey, is my kid going to get in the game? I'm like, no, if you want to leave, you leave.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I want the guys that want to be here. It's how can you, my father never said boo to anybody.
Hmm.
He just sat there, whatever coach tells you to do, you do.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, we'll have a talk when we get home on what you did.
Right.
That kind of thing. Right? But it's just like, I can't believe some people that are just so ignorant to what's going on.
You know, speaking for myself here, nobody else. Whenever I've seen this, whenever I've come across this, and I've grown up in sports, I've been around it my whole life, whether it was my father playing minor professional hockey or boxing or any of these other things, or just when I played or my brother played or something like that. I've seen a lot of this. I've seen, just like many of you out there, I've seen a lot of this. And I've never seen a real man doing this. I've never seen a real human being barking like this, like a baby, like a child, especially one that is supposed to be helping raise one. Right. We need to get back to the idea of letting people do the job they were hired for. Because, sir, if you knew better than coach here, you'd probably be in his shoes. You'd probably be there doing it. Right. And he probably knows what he's doing over there. That's why he's there in that position. I also don't think, even if you had the most intelligent, I don't care if it was Wayne Gretzky in the stands and he had feedback, all he's doing is making it about him. Uh-huh. And it ain't about you. It's about the kid. That's why you came here. If you want it to be about you, I guarantee that somewhere out there in the cosmos, there is one of those leagues you can join or one of those those kind of like band camps that you think, you know, hey, you want to feel like a hockey player, go ahead and take this camp or something that. Because it ain't about you, man.
No.
And whenever we actually started this show talking a little bit about this with the WIAA, and they just put out a rule that if you act up, if you want to get back to a game, you've got to take an online course. And I was talking about something that happened back in New Jersey back a couple years ago, where they were having a real big problem with their little league and people yelling at umpires and everything. So they made a rule that if you get kicked out of a game, the only way you can come back is you got to be an umpire. You got to ref 3 games. And I love that idea. I think that's great. For one, we need more referees for games and everything. And, you know, maybe give these people a little empathy, give them a little taste of their own medicine and what it's like to do this and everything. Because if you're not starting and it being about the kids, then you don't get it.
Yeah.
And when you're barking like that, you may think, well, I'm standing up for my kid. Your kid don't need you to stand up for them. That's not what this is about. There's going to be plenty of times in life where you might need to stand up for your kid. This is not one of them. This is not it. This is where you're letting your kid learn what it's like to be an adult. The little lessons they learn, at whether it's at 10 or 15 or at 18, the lessons they learn of how to handle adversity, how to handle life, and sometimes how to handle a fastball or an aggressive left wing or something like that. That's the point of sports. That's the point of all this. And look, nobody's giving me a Father of the Year mug or anything, man. But I think there's some things that are just basic that are pretty understandable. And if you're sitting there barking at a coach or barking at a player or an umpire or something like that, you're making it about you. And that you want to have a discussion with coach or an email or something like that, that's different. That's one-on-one. I have no problem with that.
Right.
I don't agree with it, but I get it to a degree. Right. This is just a dog wanting to bark.
Man, just making a spectacle of yourself is just absolutely, it's comical.
And anybody, any of us that have ever seen this, including somebody that might have done it, has anybody ever seen that and been like, wow, that guy's cool?
Yeah.
No, nobody thinks that's cool. Nobody thinks what you're doing is interesting or great. And nobody is sitting there in the stands. You know, the guy over here yelling, spitting all over the place. He's got a good point. You know, he's got a good. No. You look like a fool. Control your anger. Control yourself. And by doing that, you might even learn. Your kid might learn something.
Well, it's absolutely true, 100%. And the whole weekend,
Get off my soapbox here. Let me just get down for a second.
It was great. And we played at Notre Dame, right? So, I mean, now you're in that kind of environment where it's all about, this whole thing was put together just to go have fun, mm-hmm. right? Whatever happens, happens. Nobody cares, right? Yeah. But at the same point, you know, people lose perspective on that kind of stuff. And it amazes me. And then I looked at Derek, right? Because me and Derek did it. And we looked at each other. Now you know why we coach juniors, right? I'm like, I don't deal with this.
Right, but,
it was a lot of fun. In the locker room with the boys, they're funny, right? I mean, at that age, funny, man.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
And a big congratulations to them, to the parents that got them to these games, and certainly to you and the coaching staff, everybody involved in this whole thing. Again, this is what it's all about, building hockey. And follow your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. You can find out more at riverkingshockey.com. I encourage you to reach out over there if you want to find out more about some of the things Coach and I have talked about today. And stay tuned to Playmakers, everybody, because we are not only the home of all River Kings news, but we are going to be keeping up with Coach throughout the whole offseason and get you ready for a new season coming up. Cannot wait. Coach, thanks a lot for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll wrap up a Monday edition of Playmakers here on WIRI. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Thanks for joining us. Big thank you to GM and head coach, Coach Paul, for joining us from your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Remember, you can catch home games of the River Kings right here at WIRI when they kick off their new season. Be on the lookout for that and more chances for us to hang out with Coach in the fourth period. That was a lot of fun. Appreciate Coach being able to make the time and everything for that. Follow the Kings on social media and be sure to bookmark their webpage, riverkingshockey.com. Looking forward to talking more Kings later. Looking forward to talking Rafters as well, everybody. Rafter season is right around the corner. May 26th, opening day. Looking forward to it. We'll be talking Rafters actually tomorrow during the Rapids Report. Assistant GM of your Rafters, Jake Adams, is going to be joining me. Jake and I will be talking about some of the fun promotion stuff that they have lined up. Some of the last-minute things that they're getting ready for the season. And they're doing some hiring over there. Yeah. Rafters are doing some hiring. So I encourage you to find out more by going to northwoodsleague.com. Finding out more about your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Support your local teams, everybody. It's a lot of fun having these teams in town. We're spoiled. Deservingly so, I think. This area proves that they deserve these teams. And yeah, you support them, appreciate everything that everybody is doing out there with that. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. That's the number. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us in the numbers. I was talking about undrafted free agents that were signed. So for those that did not see, let's go ahead and lock in on the NFC North and starting, of course, with your Green Bay Packers. They picked up a running back, Amar Johnson, one of the signees that they made. Amar is a 5'9", 205 running back out of South Dakota State. Had a very solid season, a complete runner, with a fairly average number of home run carries during his career. But a bit of a patient runner, too, I would say. Also picked up running back Jalen White. He is out of Georgia Southern. He's 5'11", 207, and a bruiser. Bit more of a bruising running back. Wide receiver Julian Fleming, also picked up as an undrafted free agent. He's a former Nittany Lion. Might have remembered seeing him there. So a number right away, just taking a look at these. And offensive lineman Brant Banks. So, and offensive lineman J.J. Lippe. So a bunch of offensive players being brought in right away. This is good for competition. This is good to see what they got and how they fit your scheme. The NFL is filled with plenty of great undrafted free agents that, made a name for themselves in a practice just by getting on a practice squad. Also picked up off defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse. Nazir is out of Georgia. He's 6'4", 327. And as he's not only got one of the best names already in football, Nazir Stackhouse, but he's from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I don't believe that there are a lot of true stereotypes out there in the world, but I do believe that when you feel them, you should own them. I will be honest with you all. I maintain that if you are a man, an individual, man, woman, doesn't matter, born in Stone Mountain, Georgia, if you want to, you're going to be a good athlete. There's a lot of good athletes coming out of Stone Mountain, man. That's a nice pickup. Coming from the pedigree of Georgia as well doesn't hurt. By the football team or the state, for that matter. And Jamon Dumas Johnson, the final undrafted free agent so far, picked up by Green Bay. 6'1", 238, linebacker out of Kentucky. He's got some great vision. Real freaky athletic. Very, very athletic. Stood out a lot in high school. Don't know that he got the chance necessarily in football. They were looking at him anywhere between the 5th and 7th round. He was a Georgia transfer. And looked a little listless in Kentucky. He produced at a high level for Georgia's title team in 2022, but then kind of went under the radar. A lot of false steps, they're saying. But if you don't realize this by now, every coach, and this is in all sports, and I would say this to Coach Paul as well, but I would say specifically in football, every coach is that significant other that believes, oh, I can change him. Oh, he just hasn't met me. He just hasn't met my coaching staff yet. I mean, I can fix his drops. I can those false steps he's taken, oh, my coaching staff will fix them. And to be fair, and to that point, I don't think it's that difficult to understand that maybe for some athletes, this is, you know, when you start getting paid, that's when you start really locking in. It shouldn't be that way necessarily, and especially if you're trying to get drafted, you know, it's not a really good, it's not a great format to go into college athletics with, or anything with, really. But I also think it's human nature to understand, or the person to understand that's going through it, that, you know, this is different. You know, especially with an athlete like this. You know, if had he stayed at Georgia, you know, may have been a higher pick, may have seen a different senior year from him. In Kentucky, didn't go that way. So you get him, in Lambeau, working out with a bunch of professionals, and get him around Edgen Cooper and see what he's like, see what he can do. How does he look lined up? How do those false steps look then? Because not only because of that paycheck, but you're talking about almost every single one of these athletes from a very young age got a spark in them, got a passion in them, a relentlessness in them that only this can satisfy. Nothing else will come close. Making it to the highest level in your particular field. And they've got there. Whether it was drafted or undrafted, doesn't matter now. Again, pole position. It's you against 4 other guys for this position. It's go time. Again, human nature, something different can come up with somebody in that. It can bring out something different in you. Something that college wasn't able to do. Again, I feel like it should, but if it didn't, this is why you bring in undrafted free agents. This is why you take a look at this kind of talent. And see what you got. Because really, at the end of the day, it don't hurt none. You're going to have to cut the roster eventually and see where you go from there. And give these guys an opportunity. Because again, they've been fighting for this since they were a little kid. And they finally got here. And that's where you really find out wait, is this it for me? Was this the dream since I was 7, 8 years old to do this just to get here and that's it? Or do you want to stay? Do you want to stay? You want to win some football games? You want to build a team here? You want to work with these guys and for years and years and win a championship? Along with get that second contract. Because on the field, it's all about winning. Off the field, so much of it is, well, none of these athletes got a 401k. It's getting that second contract. That's your 401k. Getting to that second, third contract. And the only way you do that is by showing up right now. It'd be cool to see if any of these undrafted free agents. There's a couple of bigger names, you know. Obviously, Shiloh Sanders. He signed in Tampa Bay, if you were curious. I saw a couple of other ones, like in Baltimore, that signed, and a couple of other interesting names that you might have remembered if you watch college football as insanely as I do. The Bears picked up Power Eccles and Major Burns. I thought both of those were interesting signings from them. I wanted to take a look at Detroit and Minnesota. Detroit, Jackson Meeks, wide receiver, was pretty good. Didn't really see much else from them as far as undrafted free agents. And to be fair, I don't know that. Now, Minnesota signed like about 20 undrafted free agents. That is also understandable considering they didn't have a lot of draft picks. So that's, you know, kind of where you go. And, you know, it hasn't really, you know, hasn't really hurt them that much doing it this way. So we'll see. It's been a lot of fun. Want to thank Coach and GM Paul for joining us from your River Kings. That was a lot of fun talking with him. Spread the word about the show, everybody. We're in a new place. Got a new jersey here over at 105.5. We know it might take a little time for you guys to get used to this and call in and everything, but we're here Wednesday, so get those sports takes and feelings ready for a Wednesday edition of Playmakers coming up. Otherwise, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later.